Reference to the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today. As we take a look at the issues of the day from a distinctively biblical perspective, of course, God's Word being the source of truth. And if we don't have that anchor, that tether to the absolute as we are wandering through the snowstorm in Antarctica of the postmodern relativistic age, we're in trouble. By the way, Bill, I use that illustration from a speech you gave a number of years ago. So I draw from time to time. I do not footnote. I refuse to footnote.
Well, Christians steal from each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, excuse me, borrow.
Borrow. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. I borrowed from you quite a bit.
Okay.
In fact.
No need to footnote.
No need to footnote, no. Your name has come up several times over the past weeks when I've been out on the road.
Okay, where you been?
Yeah, I've been in Canada.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Canada,
eh? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
In Manitoba. I was at the Manitoba Association of Christian Home Educators.
Oh, wonderful. Good folks up there.
Yeah.
We appreciate what they're doing.
Great time. Great time.
Did
you realize that 90% of Canadians live within 60 miles of the U.S. border?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's pretty amazing.
They're almost Americans.
They're Americans, but they're almost U.S. citizens.
Oh, okay.
So they're Americans. Because, see, that North America includes Canada, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just this past weekend, I braved the snowstorm of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
In Rochester.
Yeah. Brutal up there.
Yeah. It had an effect.
Uh-huh.
Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay.
I was at the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators.
Very nice.
And spoke there, and it was a good time. And had people come up to my booth at both events and ask about you and what it was really like to be in the bunker with you.
Yeah. Okay. And I just had a Skype conversation with Christian leaders from Bahamas.
Yeah.
So I want to go south.
So I was braving the elements.
Yes.
And you're Skyping.
Yes.
You know,
yes. I'm Skyping in the Bahamas.
In your Hawaiian shirt.
Yes. Right? So we had a wonderful conversation with some Christian leaders in the Bahamas. And apparently Generations in the Worldview in 5 minutes is taking off in Bahamas. So we may not be big in Minnesota, but we are huge in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today we're going to come back to the headlines of this morning. I just caught this this morning as I'm sipping on my morning coffee. George H.W. Bush says his beloved Barbara is in heaven, so cross the bushes off your worry list. Okay, so that came out this morning.
That's his quote.
Barbara Bush has passed away, and George H.W. Bush's quote, cross the bushes off your worry list. I haven't done that yet, and I'm going to explain why we haven't crossed the bushes off our worry list yet. Also, here's another headline, Bill, as of this morning. Heaven, get ready for Barbara Bush. And then here's another headline. We have faith. She's in heaven. Now, I think what we're going to do is throw a flag on this play, and we're going to just simply say, just a sec, not so fast.
How do we know?
Yeah. How do we know?
How do we know that she's in heaven? Now, we're not here to sit in judgment on her salvation.
That's true. We can't.
No.
We can't give a verdict. Obviously, that's the position of the judge of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will judge the righteous and the wicked, the quick and the dead, and he will judge those sheep and the goats at the end. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 also gives us a bit of a cautionary note. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So at points we need to say, not so fast, be careful. Heaven, get ready for Barbara Bush. We have faith, she's in heaven. Not so fast.
I'm always reminded of, I think it was John Newton who said that when he gets to heaven, there's going to be three things that surprise him. Number one, the people he thought would be there who aren't. Number two, the people who are there that he didn't think would be there. And number three, the fact that he's there at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're going to talk about Barbara Bush in just a moment. In some respects, friends, as Barbara Bush passes away, the nation mourns. But an era is over. This is the end of an era. I think it's the end of fake conservatism. This is the end of the old guard Republicanism. This is the age of fake faith and a fake conservatism that is dying out. The pro-abortion conservatism is dying. And I think that's the message that comes with the passing on of Barbara Bush, the matriarch of the Bush legacy. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. There is nothing our nation and our families need more than the Word of God. Do you want to build a family that will stand? Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock of Jesus' own words, and his house stood through the raging storms of wind and flood. In a world where families are coming apart at the seams, where there is little generational faith continuity, let's build our families on the rock of God's Word every day. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C. with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, Douglas Bond, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American History exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. this August. The Bible Family Conference happens the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Register at Generations.org. That's Generations.org. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me. As we take a look at the news headlines this morning concerning the passing on of Barbara Bush and our condolences to the Bush family, but we want to air something of a cautionary note to America and certainly to the Bush family, if any of the Bush clan is tuning into the program this morning. We are going to say be careful as you consider heaven and hell, as you consider who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, let's be sure we apply the Word of God. There are those who are workers of lawlessness, that is, anomians, that will not be in heaven. That is, those opposed to God's laws will not be in heaven. Those who reject Jesus as Savior and Lord will not be in heaven. And I think that's the clear passage. Or the clear interpretation of this passage, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Well, Barbara Bush was known for her pro-abortion tendencies, and this is the question that many have asked concerning Barbara Bush, as there has been a great deal of publicity regarding her passing. And so I want to address this, because historically we find many records indicating that she was not pro-life. That is, not pro-life in the sense that she wanted a stop to abortion or any kind of a governmental involvement in abortion. By the way, in a 2005 Washington Post article, Barbara Bush is referenced in that article. And apparently during the 2000 presidential campaign, Barbara Bush said the Republican Party should drop its anti-abortion plank from its national platform. There was a radio ad that aired around the year 2000 by an abortion rights group. Listen to your mama, the thing aired, apparently speaking towards President George W. Bush. That's a family value we can all agree on now. As President Bush readies to announce his choice for a Supreme Court justice, the ad remains one of the only direct references to a rarely mentioned fact. The women closest to the president support abortion rights. His mother, his wife, and one of the most trusted advisors, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, all have stated that they believe Roe v. Wade should not be overturned. That's a 2005 Washington Post article. His mother, Barbara Bush, as well as his wife, Laura Bush, and other women in his life apparently have pushed hard for the pro-abortion perspective. Barbara Bush, characteristically, has been the least measured of all. In her book, Barbara Bush, a memoir, she asserted that there should be no laws against abortion. Here's the quote. I hate abortion, but just could not make that choice for someone else. She writes in her book, Barbara Bush, a memoir. And of course, you know, this has been the heritage of the Bush clan for four generations. I think we referred to this almost a year ago on this radio broadcast, reminding folks of the conservative legacy of the Bushes throughout the generations. Last year, Barbara Bay Pierce Bush, she's the daughter of George W. Bush. She keynoted for the Planned Parenthood of Greater Texas's annual lunch in Fort Worth, Texas. And in her speech, the 35-year-old daughter of George W. Bush said she was, quote, very proud to stand with Planned Parenthood because of the services it provides to women. Her father, President George W. Bush, increased Planned Parenthood funding from $202 million in 2001 to $337 million per year in 2006. So that would have been a roughly a 40% increase. George W. Bush certainly contributing his bit for the cause of Planned Parenthood and the marketing and baby body parts during his administration. Sadly, President George W. Bush also wound up putting a lot of energy behind the abortion legacy of Planned Parenthood. And also Barbara Pierce Bush's grandfather and George W. Bush's father, Senator George H.W. Bush, was the principal backer of the law initiating funding of abortion and abortifacient. So you ask, why in the world did George W. Bush increase funding for Planned Parenthood between 2001 and 2006? Of course, it was because his father was the one who originated the plan to fund abortion and abortifacients in the year 1970 with Title X funding. In fact, George H.W. Bush was referred to as Senator Rubbers, meaning that he was so in favor of forms of contraception that he earned a nickname, apparently, across the nation. And also, Senator George H.W. Bush and President George H.W. Bush's father, Prescott Bush, and grandfather for George George W. Bush, turned out he was the treasurer for Planned Parenthood back in 1947. When Planned Parenthood launched one of its first national fundraising campaigns, it was Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, who pushed very hard and advocated for fundraising for Planned Parenthood. That is the National Planned Parenthood Organization. Birth control was controversial in the period pre-Griswold versus Connecticut, but it was Prescott Bush who was attacked hard for his pro-choice position, knocked out of running for the Senate seat in Connecticut around the same time frame. So he stood so strongly for the pro-abortion position that it was hard to gain much ground in Connecticut at that time to elect him to the senatorial position. So, friends, again, the Bush legacy has been at the forefront. They have been the ones leading the pro-abortion legacy in this nation over the last 60 to 70 years. And I think all pro-abortion folks need to perhaps tip a hat to the legacy of George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and, of course, Barbara Bush as well. Eventually, Prescott Bush won a Senate seat, and his son George and daughter-in-law Barbara continued to support Planned Parenthood even after George's election to Congress from the state of Texas. That's four generations of Planned Parenthood supporters in the George Bush, Prescott Bush family, and I think we need to realize that. There's no question, my friends, Barbara Bush advocated pro-abortion government policies. I don't think there's any question about it. She was more pro-choice than her husband, even, George H.W. Bush, as he was president of the United States. She wrote in her memoirs, again, I hate abortions, but just could not make that choice for someone else.
I hate slavery.
Yeah,
but I just couldn't make that choice for somebody else.
I hate the idea of killing Jews.
But I just can't make that choice for
the Nazis. That's right. And friends, again, we're going to say this is a matter of import. Jesus will say at the end times, at the judgment seat, he will turn to the goats, he will turn to those false prophets, he will turn to those who said, I did all these wonderful works in your name, and he will say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, you who so oppose my laws that I call you anomians, that is, those who oppose the laws of God. So let's be sure that we call a spade on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, as Barbara Bush has passed on and will head on to the judgment seat of the living Christ. Let's warn the rest of the family that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Let's be sure we draw from these texts and apply it to those who have represent something of a fake Republicanism or a fake conservatism or a fake Christian faith over the generations. Let's call them to repentance. That's what we're doing on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. So the question here today is, Barbara Bush going to heaven? I think we're going to ask that question. We certainly cannot answer the question beyond any doubt, because ultimately we don't know what her last moments were like, and we don't we're not sitting in the judgment seat as the Lord Jesus Christ is and will at the final day. Barbara Bush wanted abortion out of the Republican platform. She said, quote, "I'm not being outspoken or a pro or con about abortion." That's what she said in 1992. "I'm not pro or con concerning abortion. I'm saying abortion should not be in there, in the platform, either pro or con." So
yeah, she said the personal thing should be left out of, in my opinion, out of platforms and conventions.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so the question this morning is, Barbara Bush going to heaven? Karl Rove wrote an article about Barbara Bush, I believe, in the Washington Post or Washington Times, and his comment was, "Heaven, get ready for Barbara Bush." So seems to be a confidence about Karl Rove that Barbara Bush will go to heaven. So the question this morning is, Barbara Bush going to heaven? That's the question. It seems that some are very sure of it. Well, here, first comment, Bill. Just because you go to an Episcopal church, which they do, they go to St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Houston, or have attended there for years, just because you go to an Episcopal church doesn't mean you're going to heaven.
Just because I go to Taco Bell doesn't make me a burrito.
Okay, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you attend an Episcopal church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. There are many who will say in that day, "I've done all these wonderful works in your name," and Jesus will turn to them and say, "Depart from me, you cursed. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you, and you were not keeping my commandments. You had no interest in my laws. You had no interest in my commandments, and you had no relationship with me. So depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity." That's what Jesus will say at the end. So just because you're going to an Episcopal church in Houston, Texas, does not mean you're going to heaven. For example, is Herod the Great going to heaven? I'm not sure that many would say yes to that question. Herod built the temple in Jerusalem for the Jews. So he contributed to it. I think Barbara Bush contributed to a Christian school in Houston, Texas. So just because you built the temple in Jerusalem doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You may be a religious guy. You may have some support for the religious cults of the day. But friends, that does not mean you're going to heaven. Back when George Bush was president of the United States, his wife Barbara, that is George H.W. Bush's Barbara, and his son George W. were having an intense discussion on the Christian faith. Okay? George W. Bush was arguing that there's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Barbara Bush said that surely God in his grace would have a plan for the sincere followers of other religions. Eventually, Mrs. Bush said, "Let's get Billy Graham on the line." So the White House operators, they got Billy Graham on the line. And Dr. Graham came on the line, and Barbara Bush told him about the discussion with George W. about whether or not one needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to go to heaven. And Graham apparently said that as a follower of the New Testament, he had to agree with her son that the only way to heaven is through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was that discussion. Now, it's interesting that in her book, Memoirs, she does not mention her faith in Christ. I did a full survey on Google Books of Barbara Bush's book, Memoirs, written in the 1990s. And again, the question is, does she profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to his lordship? That is the question. That's the determining factor. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus says in Matthew 10, 32, 33, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So in her book, Memoirs, Barbara Bush does not mention faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, the only reference to faith in Jesus Christ was presented in the form of mockery. There's apparently a dog that she ascribed to faith in Jesus Christ. There's a dog believed in Christ in the book. So in her book, Memoirs, Barbara Bush does not mention faith in Jesus Christ, her own faith in Jesus Christ, but used the faith in Jesus Christ as something that a dog would do. So a rather poor demonstration of any kind of true faith in Jesus. Again, Matthew 10, 32 to 33 tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, this is Jesus speaking, whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now, there's this question of a private faith. So many have said Barbara Bush is one of the last remnants of those who maintain something of a private faith. But I don't catch anything of a private faith here, do you, Bill? Matthew 10, 32, if somebody does not confess Jesus before men, Jesus will not confess him before his Father who is in heaven. So this
John Kerry professed a private faith when asked about his position as a devout Catholic on the issue of abortion. And what he did is he said, well, you know, that's my private faith, but it would not affect my public policy.
Yeah.
If your faith does not affect everything, does not affect every aspect of your life, then you have no faith. A privatized religion is no religion at all.
All right. A privatized faith is no faith at all. Jesus will deny you in heaven if you have a private faith that does not demonstrate itself before others. That is before men. That's what Jesus said. You need to confess me before men. You don't confess me in your heart and then not confess me before men. It's precisely what Jesus said in Matthew 10. A private faith is not a faith. The private faith of American politicians of the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s, that private faith of American Christians is no faith at all. Jesus said very clearly in Matthew 10, 32 to 33, whoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father, who is in heaven. Another question I want to ask concerning whether Barbara Bush is in heaven is this, Bill. Can you take the wrong side on the issue of the day, that is the major ethical issue of the day, the test case, the case that God himself in his providence is laying out before us, the primary ethical issues of the, as in, for example, AD 33, the question is, shall we crucify the Messiah? Or shall we receive the Messiah? I think that's a crucial question. That's a crucial ethical issue of the day that is brought to bear in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. So here's the question again. Can you take the wrong side on the issue of the day, the major ethical issue of the day, and still be a true believer? For example, the genocide of the Jews in the 1930s, 1940s.
It depends on how you respond to that later in life.
Well, that's true, too.
Peter denied Jesus three times.
Sure. It depends on whether they repent or not, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the repentance issue is certainly brought out in Acts chapter 2. But if you continue to maintain an unbiblical position and you take the wrong side on the critical ethical issue of the day, as in the case of the genocide of the Jews at the hands of the Nazis, it seems to me that you're probably on the wrong side. Now, there may be a few people who are ignorant as to what abortion means. I would grant that. There are some that do not understand that abortion is the killing of a human being.
They've been deceived by the educational system.
There may be some, but I'm not sure that Barbara Bush was ignorant about what abortion really is. To say I'm not pro or con, which is what she said, I'm not pro or con concerning the murder of children, is akin to saying I'm not pro or con concerning the murder of Jews. You follow me there?
Right. Or the issue of slavery.
Yeah.
You know, So you have a John Newton who was on the wrong side of the issue ethically until he came to Christ. And then even after he came to Christ, I think there was a period of time where he was still participating in that. And he came to the conclusion after his study of the Word of God. And as a result, you have a change of not just heart, but you have a change of action as well.
Right. What you're saying is we need to repent. All of us need to repent.
Exactly.
Jesus calls us to repent. He came with a message of repentance. He wanted us to repent. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call those who needed no repentance, who needed no forgiveness of sins. He came to call those who needed to repent and needed the forgiveness of sins. He came to call them to repentance. And if there were some humility, some crying out for mercy for Barbara Bush or for any of the Bush clan, if there's some humility, if there's any kind of crying out for mercy, any kind of recognition that she might be wrong, that would be encouraging, wouldn't it, Bill? Just like John Newton eventually admitted he was wrong.
Yeah.
He said it. He repented of his business in the slave trade. And any kind of repentance from Senator Rubbers over Title X funding for abortions and abortifacients all the way back from the 1970s would be promising. They have attended Houston's St. Martin's Episcopal Church. I guess my question is this church pushing for repentance? Are they maintaining something of the kingdom message of the Lord Jesus Christ, even a tiny little modicum of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he continues to call sinners to repentance? Have they called George H.W. Bush to a public repentance concerning his contribution of billions upon billions, tens of billions of dollars through Title X funding for abortions and abortifacients that has resulted in the deaths of tens of millions of babies across this country? Is Houston St. Martin's Episcopal Church really representing the call of Christ? Will they call their members to repentance? They need to ask President George H.W. Bush to repent of what he did in America in the 1970s, the 1980s, et cetera, with Title X funding. And they need to encourage the president, George H.W. Bush, to issue a public statement to the nation, publicly repenting of what he did. If this is a case of publicans like Zacchaeus, who has violated God's laws on many levels, if Jesus is coming to George H.W.'s home, as he came to Zacchaeus' home, he needs to call, and his servants, those who minister for Jesus, needs to call George H.W. Bush to repentance. And the Zacchaeus story, of course, results in a public confession and a public acts of repentance on the part of Zacchaeus. The very same thing needs to happen with George H.W. Bush if George H.W. Bush is going to go to heaven. Friends, this is so important. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you offend one of these little ones who believes in me, if any should offend him, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck, he'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. And I'm here to tell you that tens of millions of babies have been offended by Title X funding over the years, and it would be better for that person if a millstone be hanged around his neck and he'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. The Apostle Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians, if any does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Maranatha. So, friends, that's the message for the Bush clan. If they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, if they do not love him, if they don't want to keep his commandments, if they offend these little ones, and they eventually contribute tens of billions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, which offends many, many little ones, it would be better for them that a millstone be hanged around their neck and they be drowned at the bottom of the sea. But thankfully, there is mercy with God. And so anybody, even Barbara Bush, at the very end of her life, if she had the humility, if God in his grace grants her some humility, that she would fall on her face and simply word out that little statement the publican made in the temple, God have mercy on me, a sinner, God will bring her home justified. That, my friends, is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that the Bush clan would respond with humility and with true repentance at with the multiple generations who have led the American apostasy and the American genocide against tens of millions of babies since the 1940s, when Prescott Bush pushed so hard to raise funds for Planned Parenthood, and since George H.W. Bush pushed so hard in the 1970s to raise federal funds for Planned Parenthood. Well, may God bring repentance, true repentance, to the Bush legacy through the generations. That's our prayer on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, if you would like more on a biblical perspective on the issue of abortion, the hot button issues of the day, please be sure you have copies of our little books, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, Keep the Faith on Education. Make sure you have this short little series. They're not long books, but they are short and sweet and straight to the point, and they will address the biblical perspective on issues like abortion and homosexuality, of course, public education as well. These Keep the Faith series is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.